Welcome to the Needle Jake Podcast. This is Season 1, Episode 3 with Miss Holly Marie. If you guys don't know me, my name is Mark and I'm your host today. I do a lot of videos on YouTube, and what you're going to hear today is the audio recordings of one of those videos. I certainly hope you enjoy these podcasts. They're mostly audio recordings from interviews I've done with great artists around the world. And, you know, they help, you know, pass the time when you're driving or flying, or hell, you could have them in your headphones while you're tattooing a customer so you don't need to listen to them. I certainly hope that you enjoy listening to this as much as I enjoyed talking to Miss Holly Marie. For a young woman, she has an awful lot of experience, and she's very articulate and intelligent, and, well, listen for yourself. I honestly cannot tell you how thankful and grateful I am for the continued love and support of all Needle Jake's customers throughout the years. I mean, the continued support is just overwhelming, and I just want you all to know that I do honestly appreciate you. Please leave your comments in the podcast review, and if you have any other questions you have to ask, just hit us up at cs@needlejig.com. Now let's talk tattoo with Miss Holly Marie. Today we have the lovely Miss Holly Marie. She is a young lady who's been tattooing, I want to say, about 7 years now, if somewhere in that ballpark anyways.
Yeah, about seven. Going to be eight soon, but seven.
Yeah. And, you know, she's done relatively well for a young woman in this business. Little TV show out there some people may have heard of. Some approve of, some do not approve of. I'm relatively indifferent to it. I know most everybody that's been on it, and the very, very early Shane O'Neill and Steve Test and all those, the early winners are people I have known for a very long time prior to Ink Masters. But anyways, that's a little bit of a career boost, and I'm sure it has helped. I'm sure it has hindered, but let's talk to Holly and get to know her a little bit better. And she may or may not want to talk about that. Who knows? I don't blame her either way. But either way, this is about her today. Enough about me. So anyways, Holly, how are
Hello.
You, kid? Good
I'm
to see
good.
You. You're looking good.
You?
Yeah.
Thank
I like
you.
I like the background there. I hope we get a little live performance later, maybe. And
I don't know.
No? Okay.
It's been a while. Okay.
Well, I own a shitload of guitar equipment and I still suck. So I know that feeling. not enough time for everything we want to pursue, for sure.
Unfortunately, no.
Yeah. So, okay. I was saying, I think you've been tattooing for about 7 years. You concurred. Awesome. Means my brain's not completely gone yet. And but give us a little bit of insight on tattooing, your first introduction to tattooing, and maybe just a tad on how you got started.
Yeah, so obviously I started like 7 or 8 years ago. I was the first person in my family, in any part of my life, that had any interest or anything in tattooing. Nobody I knew had tattoos, anything like that. I went to an art magnet school for high school, and I don't know, I was just a punk rock kid, and I didn't want to go to college or do anything like that. So they said, you got to get a job. So I said, fuck you guys, I'm going to be a tattooer. And they said, okay, well, go get a job. So I did. And I had no concept of any part of tattooing. Like I said, I didn't even know people that had tattoos. So walking in off the street with just my portfolio, I was like 17, and the whole thing was like culture shock. But it, for the first time, felt like I found like what I was supposed to be doing, and I just fucking fell in love with it and went full tilt. So here I am today.
Okay, but I mean, you had some real resemblance of an art background. You were good at art anyways.
Yeah, I've been drawing since I was like two. Like, my mom still has like drawings I did at like five. So I've been drawing since forever. Art was always like a big part of my life, but you know, it just it was kind of a natural progression for me as like an artist and as like a punk rock kid of like, I just wanted to do shit that was cool and rebellious and artistic. And so tattooing was the perfect way for me to do that.
Okay. What now, before you get into tattooing, what were the mediums that you preferred back then in your younger years?
I was an acrylic painter and a watercolor painter, and I did a lot of like pencil sketch stuff. So I did, it was funny. I actually did mostly like portrait work and things like that. Like very realistic was my style. Like when I first started tattooing and like art in general, I was very much a, like, you see it and you draw it type of person. And now I've kind of grown away from that quite a bit, but I mean, I still use it. It's still good. It's knowledge that you need to do anything. So
yeah, I mean, most of the work I see from you is, I wouldn't say mostly traditional, but it has definitely a strong traditional base for sure.
Yeah, for
I
sure.
I mean, you can tell you came up in a street shop because you seem to perform, you know, most styles, you know, fairly well, but the bulk of what you do definitely has a traditional, neo-traditional feel, or you take that into a black and gray where you take traits of traditional tattooing and just and perform them in black and gray, and that's nice too. So what do you prefer to do? I don't want to do the same thing every day. I don't know how portrait artists or anybody who's stuck in one genre just gets on with life. That would drive me nuts to do the same thing every day.
That's why I stopped doing portraits, because I couldn't do another baby face. Like I couldn't tattoo any more baby portraits. I hate
babies. Them are cute, but
all of them, and that sucks. It sucks when you have to be like, oh, this baby's so cute, and it looks like fucking ugh.
I unfortunately agree, and had that conversation with my wife like just last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe. We were talking about it. Not all babies are beautiful, but luckily all the people that we know that just had babies have gorgeous babies. So don't think it involved you. But but anyways, what is the style you feel most at home with, or are you enjoy doing the most?
I think I love traditional. I've been getting more and more into like an illustrative or neo-traditional style as of lately, just because traditional is something that like it just translates so well. Like it'll always look good, it'll always be there, like the fundamentals are there. That's something that I'm like super into, is having a tattoo that from across the room you know what it is before. You know, I don't like tattoos that you have to like come up on somebody, because I'm a very fucking social distant person normally without
I'm living my best life these days.
I am. It's wonderful. I don't know what anyone's complaining about. I don't like when people have to come up to you and like grab your arm to see what it is. I want people to know what it is without, you know, from across the room being able to identify what they're looking at. So those kind of fundamentals are like super important in my work in general. And that's why, like, even when I do portraits or, you know, black and gray, anything realistic, I tend to kind of take those, you know, fundamentals into that. And that's why my work kind of always looks a little bit more neo-traditional than anything else in terms of like the realism and stuff. So lately I've been getting more into like the neo-traditional, just because it gives me a little bit more wiggle room in terms of like artistic freedom. I don't have to stick to like the structured, like traditional, like anchors and swallows and things like that. I can kind of put a little bit more detail and a little more flair into it while also keeping those strong tattooing elements into it.
Yeah, you get a little more color blending and just
you be a little more creative with it sometimes.
It applies I don't even want to say realist, but you take it a half a step closer towards you know, realism with some of the transitions, and it's just it's like a traditional 2.0,
exactly,
something like that. Yeah. Now on your larger pieces too, you don't just, I mean, you have detail that you can make out from across the room, but as you get closer, you can see progressively more detail at the tattoo.
Yeah.
You know, I think all art needs to be that way. Have multiple layers of depth and
yeah.
For sure. Cool. And okay, so I'm going to talk about the little elephant in the room there, the whole Ink Master experience here.
Of course,
many of my dear friends have been on that show. They have won, they have lost, they have cried. It's a real tearjerker for a lot of people. But some people don't want to talk about it. I mean, there are people that regret 1000% ever going on the show, and then others that were only on an episode have somehow managed to take that and transform that into a career, a life.
Exactly.
It's just a tool and an opportunity, and it's going to be what you decide to make of it. I think you have a very similar philosophy on that too. It's a gig you did. And, you know, we all do things we don't want to do sometimes. And, you know, if you go into it with the mindset of making your best of it, you know, and we don't even need to worry about those people and spare their feelings now because they no longer exist.
But, yeah.
What's your take? I mean, you obviously, okay, you were on the one that they called Battle of the Sexes, which is, you know, let's play the modern theme here and what's headlining around the world about that period and
time. Yay, feminism, all of that.
Yeah, you know, and if people haven't noticed, you're obviously a lovely young lady. And so on top of the Ink Masters thing, I'd also like to get your take, if it's not prying too hard, on sharing your ideas, your experiences on being a young woman coming into this somewhat intimidating business, I can imagine. So you can pick which road you want to get down first. If you want to talk about being a beautiful young woman first, or if you want to talk about being, you know, TV eye candy, one way or the other. What's your take?
I mean, I didn't obviously signing up for it. Like, I actually didn't sign up for it. They asked me multiple times and then I finally kind of gave in and went on the show. I don't have really any qualms or regrets about it. It was, you know, a chapter of my life that, you know, I got the opportunity to show my work to millions of people watching on TV and, you know, on different platforms that I would normally have never gotten the opportunity to get like access to those people. So I don't see it as a bad thing at all. I had a great time. I had a great experience. I really didn't receive any backlash from it, which was awesome because I know a lot of people on my season, especially like I only know from experience on my season of like some people got it really bad and I feel really awful for them. And I could see how they would regret going on and things like that. But for me, I mean, I just tried to keep it as real and just no bullshit as I could. And I don't know if that worked to my advantage or disadvantage, but I've gotten a lot from it, so I can't speak negatively of it at all. Like, you know, it's really opened my work up to a lot more people, like I said, and I've gotten so many more opportunities from it. So I mean, it was a couple of months of my life that, you know, is documented forever. So
yeah, now it's interesting that you say you really had experienced no real significant negative repercussions from it, because from most of the people that I speak to, I mean, even the most popular people on the TV ended up with haters. And the most hated people on the show ended up with these psycho fan groups.
So, followers, yeah.
It seems like everybody that goes on the show, you know, you get both. And some people are sensitive and can't take any criticism and critique, and their egos are frail and whatnot, and whatnot, and other people's heads swell beyond belief when one person writes them a fan letter. I'm sure goes both ways, but it's an interesting take that you really didn't get the negative experience. Now, I don't watch the shows typically.
I didn't until I went on.
And the only time I started watching the shows, okay, Scott Marshall, you know, rest his soul, was a good friend of mine and supported me, and I supported him. And he went on. And only when he went on did I decide that I needed to start watching the shows better. I kind of knew behind the scenes from all my other friends how it worked, but I figured, okay, I should. And I tried to work my way up to, I think he was on season 4. And I watched the first two seasons, and about either towards the end of the second season or beginning of third season, I just couldn't watch anymore. I couldn't dedicate that kind of time. And it was boring.
It's the same thing over and over again.
Yeah. So I didn't, but last night, okay, because we were going to talk today, I was like, I had to seek out just a couple of clips. I guess that's where I was going with that long rant, was I had to seek out a couple of clips because I knew I wanted to at least try and talk to you about this today if you were open to the idea. And from the few clips I did find online, and I didn't search extensively, you carried yourself pretty well. You seemed to be kind of like, you know, no nonsense. You didn't seem to have any interest in getting caught up in the drama, which is probably why they, you know, eventually decided to get rid of you because, well, you're not playing along.
I couldn't give them anymore.
You're not playing along. You're not making for good TV, so to speak. You're there to do nice tattoos. So
yeah.
And that's, you know, that's your perspective. But I can see now that you say you didn't have a negative experience, it kind of makes sense because, well, you didn't act like a jackass, so you're probably not going to be treated like a jackass.
That was the thing that like confused me so much about like all the other people that were on my season. Like I said, I only have personal experience from my own personal season, and like, you know, this a select few of other people that went on before me. But it was just so shocking how many people that were on were like, I didn't know it was going to be like this. And like, they had no concept of like everything you say is going to be perceived a certain way by your viewers. So like, it was just so shocking to me because I see everything from a very like, I guess, marketability standpoint. And like, I'm trying to put my best foot forward as a tattooer into like people who are watching have no concept a lot of times of what being a tattooer is like. And this is kind of the closest thing for them to figure that out. And so to put your best foot forward and like, you know, that the purpose of the show is to create drama, obviously, why wouldn't you be as prepared as you are to not fall for those kind of traps?
It's to sell advertising. That's what it's there for.
But for me, I was like so shocked of like how many of the other artists that I was on with that were like just falling for it. And like, I was like, did you not prepare for this? Did you not know that they were gonna fucking, you know, make you talk about shit you didn't want to talk about, or like make you cry, or like try anything they could like to get you to like play their little games or whatever? Like, and you know, I always voice my opinion, and like when they put me in, you know, the like drama scenes or whatever, I always gave my opinion fully. And if people disagreed or agreed with them, it was whatever. But I was very much a like I was, the funny thing is I was the youngest one on the season too, which was hilarious. But like these grown adults that were like arguing with each other over nonsense. And all I would have to say was like, guys, you realize this is a fucking TV show, right? You're acting like children. And they would fucking shut up. So they stopped putting me in scenes because I would just shut it down.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you are beyond your years for sure. You know, I mean, like,
I'm an old soul, as they say.
I would think so for sure. Yeah, no. And it's funny because like I said, I knew how the show worked. I coached a number of people that came to me when they were like, well, they want me to go on and on. I don't know if I want to do it. And I try and give people as much as I knew. I obviously don't have personal experience. I haven't been on the show, but
yeah,
many dear friends of mine have been and have confided in me, you know, what went on, transpired behind the scenes and all that. So I would do my best to, you know, give everybody the pros and cons, but I always approach it as, you know, if you're not, you need to try and take advantage of any opportunity that's presented to you.
Exactly.
As long as you don't end up selling yourself short, you know, you can't concede who you are, your integrity and stuff like this. But other than that, go make the best of it. Have fun with it, you know, and then you know, it's, yeah. And I told everybody, it's not about winning. $100,000 is, I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's
nowhere near if you are using your exposure to your advantage. Like $100,000 can be a drop in the bucket compared
to what you can
do. If you're
on one or two episodes and you can't turn that into $100,000 worth of revenue, you are a goddamn moron.
Exactly.
Honestly. So the longer you're on, the more exposure you get, and the greater you can capitalize on it.
Exactly. Fine.
If you get the $100,000, you get the $100,000. Awesome. But you know, that's just that. I don't know. A lot of people just didn't understand it, or they thought it was just going to be a fair tattoo contest, you know, and there's no such thing, whether you go to a show or whether you go to TV yeah. or whatever. Like I've never, ever, ever seen a tattoo contest that has been judged or yeah. let's say perceived to be judged as fairly by everybody considered. Involved. It just doesn't yeah. happen. You know, it's everybody's
it's pageantry. It is what it is.
And it's awesome. It's fun to get up and stand up and show off your work and get that exposure and introduction to new people. But yeah, it's like I said, it's just a TV show, and I'm glad you had a good experience with it. That is awesome.
Yeah.
Because I know people, and I'm not even exaggerating. I know a lot of people that have been on that show that have physically needed and still need therapy from that experience, you know, like PTSD. In fact,
that's very real thing, actually. So no, a lot of girls from my season said that they had PTSD. Real.
Not only that, I want to say in the last so many years or seasons or whatever, I think part of the, what do they call it? When you, the wrap, part of the wrap. And when they wrap you and kick you and stuff like this is they sit you down and don't they do it like a detailed inventory about your psyche and see if you ask you how you feel, do you need help? They offered you. I think they had to do that just out of liability aspect.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? So they started doing, I don't know when they started to do it, but they do screening now. I had to talk to like a psychologist before I went on to make sure like mentally I was like stable enough to like handle it. And you know,
how'd you sneak past
like,
that one?
I don't know, man. Like, the hair on my head. Yeah, they definitely like, I mean, I think they knew based off of my like exit interview that like I was fine, but like I definitely have like had in the few months like after and like during when it was airing where I had like some insomnia over it for sure and some serious anxiety about it, just about certain aspects. But other than that, like that was kind of like not to say like short-lived, but like I'm over it now, so it doesn't really affect me anymore. But like waiting for certain episodes to air where you didn't know what they were going to show and things like that, that definitely gave me a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of shit over that, but now well, that it's aired.
The good news is this is live. We're not going to edit this to make you look like an ass. If you want to make an ass out of yourself, you got to do it all on your own. You know, we're not going to do it for
you. I'm good at that.
But cool. Well, I'm glad you're psychologically sound and, yes. and it wasn't as devastating.
As much as I can be.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't as devastating to you as it was to many others, because I do have dear friends that it messed them up, you know?
Yeah,
and I mean,
for sure.
You know, some of them, well, spiraled drastically after that, you know, you can't say it was due to that because they were probably not psychologically sound to start with. If something, you know, if short-term experience is that traumatic to them,
can set them off. Yeah.
Right. It was more of a trigger and whatnot. But I'm hoping everybody's getting the help that they need after that experience, because I
absolutely
do know it was hard on a lot of people. So now back to it was Battle of the Sexes. Now there was that. Do you feel that was played out well, or do you think the females' tattoos were judged as well as the males' tattoos, or received as well, or what? I mean, it's
there
just
was
an opinion, but what is your opinion?
There were certain times when, I mean, the judges can only do so much in terms of like trying to judge fairly, but a lot of times it was very much like they knew a bunch of the guys and were like more friendly with the guys. So especially like in the beginning, like the women's team never won any of the challenges just because like they were like hanging out with the guys while they were tattooing versus hanging out with the girls. So like they knew them more, they joked with them more. I don't know what it was, but certain judges I dislike.
Yeah. And again, I mean, some of those people that appear to be asses on TV are probably nice people in the real world and vice versa too, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, but not to judge anybody.
One judge in particular who doesn't tattoo.
But the thing is too, is like being a man, I can tell you, like, you know, you have all these male judges and you have all these beautiful women there, right? if the judges themselves were hanging and lingering around with the female artists more, that would not be perceived properly either. So, I mean, it's kind of no way to win either situation here. You know, I mean,
aside from having a woman judge,
that could help. Another 30, 40 years, maybe, but, but I mean, if you think about it like that, I mean, the whole sexism thing, feminism thing, whatever, cool. I get it. I mean, I've forever been thinking people need to be treated equally regardless of anything,
yeah, you know, of course.
Race, religion, whatever. I don't give a damn really, but it's hard to be a man in the situation too. You know, I mean,
of course,
I'm not going to say it's equally as hard because I don't believe it is, but it's, you know, I mean, it's like they, no matter what they did, they were going to get their ass handed to them sooner or later.
It's true. They did have an episode of blind judging, which I thought was funny, where they didn't watch us tattoo. We got to tattoo like whatever we wanted or whatever. And they just kind of judged them and picked based off of the tattoos themselves, which I feel like they should have done more, honestly. But I thought it was funny. One of the things that they said about my work was that because they tried to kind of like guess who did it before, you know, finding out who mm-hmm. actually did it. And they said that mine looked like it was too tough to have been a woman that that did the tattoo, which I thought was funny.
Obviously never met you.
Yeah, obviously. I'm a sailor.
Oh man. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of cool. But then again, like the whole idea was drama. I mean, and again, I only sought out some clips, so I don't even know who won. Who won that season?
Laura Marie won that season. One of my girls.
She's talented.
She's amazing. I love her to death.
Very talented. Yeah. I don't know her personally, but I
she's a kooky, cute little artist. I love her.
Well, then there was some vindication in the end there, wasn't there?
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah. I was the top three women, and the other two, my girls, Danny and Laura, went to the finale, and Laura ended up winning, and Danny came in second. So.
I did see the clip where you were sent home and you kind of little read them a short riot act there on the way out, you know, put them in your place a little bit, which is cool. You know, hey, you had one chance to make a statement and you took it. So, okay. So let's get beyond this stuff. This is this whole TV nonsense thing to real world. Okay. Now coming up as a young female tattooer. Was that a positive experience for you or was that a battle every day?
Sometimes it was some days harder than others. You know, it's I'm sure the same with everybody. I really didn't have, any crazy, horrible experiences with that either. Like, you know, I came up in a street shop, obviously. I was treated super fairly. My mentor loved me. I love him to death. He actually was the one that married me and my husband. He got ordained just to marry us.
And who was that? Let's give him some credit.
His name's Jeff Johnson. He owns CT Inc. in Middlefield, Connecticut, where I'm from.
Nice.
So I love him to death. Still close with him. He always treated me super fairly, you know. There were some things about, you know, me being a young girl in a tattoo shop he did try to protect me from, but at the same time, he was very much like, hey, this is a tattoo shop and, you know, you gotta figure it out. So I'd say it was super fair. The only things that, you know, it was never the people that I worked with normally that I got any shit from. It was always the clients, honestly. People not thinking my portfolio was mine because I was like this young girl in a tattoo shop. And, you know, they'd say, I want the guy that did this. And you're like, that's me. And they'd be like, no, where's the man that did this? And like, you're looking at her.
I go try and grow a mustache for you.
Yeah, I can draw on a mustache if that'll make you feel better. But like, that's pretty much the extent of it. Other than that, obviously there's always creeps, but like, that's pretty standard in any area of any
just
part
of being
a woman's
female.
Life. Yeah.
All right. So no, and I mean, I witnessed that because we had female tattooers at my shop in Arizona years ago or whatever too. And I have definitely seen and heard that from time to time where people didn't want to get tattooed by the female. And I was like, you know, she's probably better than me. You know, I mean, or honestly, myself, everybody had their own sort of stylization. And we would just try and push people off on whoever did that style best, you know,
exactly.
Give the customer the best experience possible. Why not?
Exactly. You know,
and it's a novel theme, but, okay. So here we are, fast forward, you know, 6-7 years later or whatever, almost 8 years later. And, you're being treated fairly equal. You know, I mean, yep. To be honest with you, I think being a female is almost an advantage these days.
I really would say it is. And that's what I was going to say there too. Like, I've never had anyone, you know, I've had more people want to get tattooed by me because I was a girl than not want to get tattooed by me because I was a girl. So I've had more good things than bad things with it. But you know,
and you don't want to tattoo those Neanderthals anyways, right?
Exactly.
I mean, realistically.
Yeah. So, and I think it's one of those things, like, as long as your work is good, you know, I never don't want to do a good tattoo just because, like, you know, this person's rude or whatever, or, you know, they're going to get tattooed by me anyway because I got tits. Like, it's never like that. It's like, I always am pushing myself to do a better tattoo than I did last time. So I think that speaks for it too. Like,
nothing to do with the clean lines and the saturation,
yeah.
and the detailed subject matter. Nothing like
yeah.
that.
No, it's definitely nothing. It's the fake eyelashes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, I think it helps being a girl sometimes, but for the most part, like, I don't know. I see myself more as an artist than as a female when I walk in the doors of the shop. Like, I don't see myself as like a girl. I see myself as another artist. So it's like, as long as I do good work and I'm trying to get better, like, there should be no reason why I should be judged differently based off of that, you know?
Okay. All right. Well, enough about you being a girl. Okay. You've milked that subject long enough. Let's talk a little bit about tattooing here. Cause I mean, up until recently, you were a dedicated coil girl, needles on bar. Yep. And all that fun stuff. And recently you've been experimenting on the other side, right?
I have a couple of rotaries. I do.
Your honest opinion on that. We have not talked about this yet.
I dabble.
Dabbled?
I've actually never dabbled in the like pen type machines, like with the cartridges. But I've been thinking about dabbling recently, just for black and gray and things like that. I don't know. I still can't use a rotary for lines. I can't do it. I've tried it. I've tried multiple types of rotaries for line work. It doesn't suit me. I change it like second line in every single time. I need that punch. I need a coil machine to really like punch it in. And maybe I just haven't tried the right rotary or the right pen thingy, but I
struggle myself. So it's not, you're not alone. No, you're not alone. It's I mean, I can do it, but I do have to slow down and it's a struggle for me and some machines.
And I'm like a quick, like, you know, I'm a street shop girl. I'm a quick liner. Like, I want it one and done. I don't want to have to go over things again. I don't know if it's like maybe an ADD thing, but I can't. I'm that way with my art. Like, if I don't get it done right away, that's why one of the reasons I love doing like traditional watercolors is because like, it's like, boom, it's done. And I'm on to the next thing. There's no like layers. There's no working. Mm-hmm. I need it quick.
No, I had the same philosophy when I was tattooing every day too. I don't want to do touch-ups or repairs or anything like that later. I'm not going to get paid twice. Why do I want to tattoo it twice?
Exactly.
So, you know, there's that aspect of it, but, you know, early in my career, I used to try to do big stuff and contest winning stuff and all that other fun stuff. And I got towards later on in my career and I was like, you know what? I like to do, I refer to them as masturbatory tattoos. I really don't like to do a tattoo that goes into two sessions. I want it one and done. I want to be in, I'll give you all damn day, but I mean, I
want to finish it.
Yeah. I just done.
I like it fresh on the brain. I don't draw for weeks in advance for appointments. Everyone's like, oh, can I see the drawing? And I'm like, I do it the morning up. Like, I want everything fresh. I want to know what I'm doing. I don't like when I have to do like multiple sittings. Obviously, like big work, like sleeve work and back pieces are different, but like you do pieces sometimes and you forget, like, I'm like, what was I going to do there? Like,
yeah.
I haven't seen this person in 2 months. I don't remember what I was going to do. You know, I like to finish it so it's like clean and fresh and it's that moment in time of like me as an artist. Mm-hmm. And then it's on to the next moment.
I found it hard to shift my mindset, mentally shift back into the place where I was the last time I was
Exactly.
working on that. What was I thinking? Because when you're in a piece, you're thinking about you know where you want to go, what you want to do, what needs to be
Yep.
brought forward, what needs to be pushed back, and all that's fresh in your mind. And maybe it's just me and I don't have that great a memory to
I'm terrible. I'm so I
but
have such a bad memory.
yeah. So you still kind of prefer the street shop aspect? I mean, obviously booking out is appointments too, but like you
I
still
still,
like
yeah.
it. That's cool.
I will do whatever walks in the door. If somebody can do it better, just like you were saying, then I'd rather send the client to somebody who could do it better. But like if somebody's booking for me, like whatever they really want to do, like I'm not going to turn somebody away because like I think I'm too good to do their lettering tattoo. Like no, hell no. Like I love doing
You can
little
always
tattoos.
practice.
Like
I mean, it
exactly.
doesn't hurt to practice.
People forget like lettering on, the little infinity signs and like names on ribs, like that's where your work shines. Like if you can't do that, you can't do anything. So, these people that think they're too good to squeeze in a wrist tattoo,
Yeah.
like
Or even a
no,
bigger
if I
plane
got
tattoo,
30
if they do it with a
minutes,
shitty attitude, that doesn't do anybody any good, so.
exactly. You're just doing the entire industry no favors with that. So, no, I still will do anything that walks in the door. I try to give myself some time for walk-ins, but mostly lately I've been booking up too much where I don't have time for walk-ins. But if I do, I'm not going to not do a walk-in. You know what I mean? Like I'll do whatever comes in.
It's money. I mean,
It's
really,
money.
you're at work. That's how you make your living.
Exactly.
I've always wondered why people would do that, like turn down clients, stuff like this in my shop. It's just
No
like
way.
it just it never made sense. I used to look at them and tell them, hey, there's enough starving artists in the world. Why don't you try and do something with your time?
Exactly. I don't understand the mentality of like thinking that you're better than doing anybody's tattoo. That tattoo is going to be on somebody forever. They're going to have that experience of getting tattooed forever. And like it means something to them, whether or not it's your third infinity sign of the week or, whatever. It's still something for them. Like they're still going to have to live with it. So why not put your best foot forward and put the industry's best foot forward and try to give them the best experience that you can? So
It's
I
customer
just,
service. It's
yeah.
that's what we're in the business. We provide a
We deal with
product,
people.
but
Yeah.
yeah, we provide a product, but I mean
The experience
the stronger, yeah.
is more so important because, I've gotten tattooed by people that were assholes and the tattoo is fantastic and beautiful and I love it, but like the experience was shit. So you're like, like the work is great, but
You're
fucking the
not
guy
going
was an
back.
asshole. Yeah, I'm not gonna
Yeah,
get
you're not
tattooed
going
by him
back. So I
again.
mean, how are you going to build a client base in a career in a business
When you're an asshole.
if you're not getting repeat clients? It's like
Exactly.
the same
And
thing.
then
Like,
I've seen shitty tattooers that give the best experience, they have great times with people, and they're booked out. And it's
yeah,
like
no.
there's a difference there. People would rather have a good experience and like even a subpar tattoo. If they can have both, obviously, like that's what we strive for, but like at the end of the day, like I'm trying to these people are here, they're trusting you with their bodies. So for the rest of their lives, they're trusting you with their skin and their appearance and how the world perceives them. So like, why wouldn't you try to give them the best possible experience that they can have, so they feel comfortable, they feel confident in what they're getting and what they want. I hate when people question what people want to get done, It's like they want it. Like, why are you making them feel stupid about that? Like, that's not your job to talk them out of it.
The only things I would ever deny is anything that's like, racially
Racial,
motivated or
yeah,
hate
exactly.
driven or, derogatory towards, other
Exactly.
beings
That's
is,
the only time I've told some people to get out, like is when they want anything like that, which has been very few times. But if a girl wants an infinity symbol with, her mom's name in it, why are you giving her attitude? Just fucking sit down and do the tattoo. Like and
Yeah, but when they want the whole family's name is compacted into it. At
can be
some
like,
point, you got to sit them
hey,
down and tell them that this is just not
you
feasible.
have a whole body. You have so much skin. Let's use all of it instead of just your wrist. And then, if you say it right, then you got a client for life because then they just keep coming back for all their aunts and uncles.
No, I found that I can insult people and tell them the stupidest motherfuckers I've met in 16 months or whatever, but as long as I do it with this smile on my face and a
Oh,
quick wink and
people
a
love it.
nod, they love it. So
Yeah.
yeah, and
That's the best part.
Yeah. Well, you get away with it easier because, you know, I mean,
It's a bat of the
people are not going to
eyelash.
confront you as easily as they will confront me. And that's just, you know, that's sexism in reverse. I don't know. It's something like that. But okay, so you are still mostly a needle on bar girl.
Oh
You're
yeah, I
that's
haven't switched to cartridges yet. I know it would make traveling easier and all of that, but I just want to be sure for my own work first that like I can get my desired effect and last forever with them. And I haven't experimented really with them yet, but I've seen healed versus fresh work from cartridges and things, and you know, it's different artists. People push
That's
it in different,
application
but
and
yeah, it's
technique.
application.
The
So
needles are the need. Okay, so the needles I put in my cartridges are the same damn needles I put on the
as on the
forms.
bar, yeah.
So there's no difference. It's just a matter of application and technique
That's true.
and you know, and like you said, the hit, the punch, speed, angle, blah blah blah, all the other technical aspects. So it is another tool, and that's the thing people got to understand. It's just another tool. Try it. You might like it. You might not. You don't have
I'm
to.
also afraid to let I'm afraid of change.
We're
I don't want
humans.
to like
We
new things.
hate change in general, and we
I
don't.
love change, but I hate it.
Oh yeah, it's great after you know it's a successful change. It's
Exactly.
it's it it, it it's
It's just making the switch.
yeah. You
I
don't
have,
have to. You know,
you
just.
can't see it, but I have a whole closet here that's filled with tubes and needles. I don't know
That's
what I would do without all this, with all this space. What would I do with all of this space?
all right. You can get a bigger piano.
That's true. This one's looking a little dinky.
All right. So conventions, do you miss them?
Oh my God, yeah. I
But
miss them more than anything in the world. I've
there's
never
other
been home
humans
this
there.
much. Yeah. I've never been home this much, and like it's really weird for me and my husband because we're such like we have such wanderlust like spirits, like, and like trying to even get away for a weekend right now with COVID and everything. Obviously, things are getting a lot better and a lot easier, and with a vaccine and everything, you know, things are turning around for the better. So I'm very excited about that. But it's just been so fucking hard to get to do anything, to go
Yeah.
anywhere. So like. Like I said, I've never been home this much and I don't know what to do with myself. And you know, during we had about 3 months of shutdown and I don't want to do it again. I don't
Yeah.
like being home this much. You know, I have my house looks like a museum most of the time because we're never home. And I mean, I guess it's good that it's like more homey now because I've had a bunch of time to do projects and spend time at home. But at the same time, I have a whole room here of equipment waiting to be packed up in the car or on the airplane and go and tattoo. And you know, it's just weird to not have that for a while.
Well, it's completely weird, but I gotta say, I love being home, and
I do.
I'm
I
way more
do.
productive being here in the warehouse at this point in time than I've been in a number of years. So that is
That is
super
true.
cool. I miss my family without a doubt. You know, I mean, my tattoo family, but I gotta say, I think when I go back into it, I'm going to balance it a little bit better. I'm not good
I will agree
at
with that.
20 something shows a year. So,
I will agree with you, yeah. I mean, we want to definitely pick back up where we left off with as many as we can for now, just to get, you know, back into the travel swing. But for sure, I'm definitely feeling like, because we used to do 20 to 25 shows in a year, and you know, that's a lot for anybody, especially just the two of us. But yeah, I mean, it is nice to be home. My dog is definitely happier with us. Although during quarantine he did get a little sick of me, and it's a little funny. He was like, "I'm gonna go lay down over here instead of on your lap," and I'm like, "Really? You're already sick of me after 3 weeks?" But he's like, "I need me time. Like, get away from me." But
Bad human.
yeah, bad human. Go to work. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely nice, and I definitely feel more of like that balance thing that. I guess I was off balance before I didn't even know. So we definitely will probably cut back at least a little bit, but I mean as soon as conventions open up, I would like to go full tilt again
I mean, I will be
just 'cause I miss
going.
it.
I'm going back, and my wife mentioned at dinner last night, basically that due to my age, I think I'm coming up in the next goddamn vaccine bracket out there. So, and I'm like,
Oh, hey.
and she's talking to me like, you know, like you know, you looked into it? I'm like, no, I just figured somebody would call me when it was time. I'm like, I figure they got a list. If they tell me when I can't get it,
Right?
they gotta tell me when I can get
When
it.
I
So,
should, yeah.
but so I've been notified now that I should look into that, and that'll be a little bit more comforting. But I honestly don't think it's gonna be a couple more months before I'm willing to put myself out there, and not so much for my own safety. I don't feel like I'm in any great risk, but at the same
Same.
time, I do encounter a lot of other people, and I don't want to be part
Exactly.
of the spread or
Part of the
the
problem
problem.
versus the
You know, I
solution.
mean, am I skeptical of the vaccine? Of course I am, but I'm
There's always
skeptical of
going
the
to be a
food
little
they put in front of me in
skepticism.
a restaurant too. So
Exactly.
I don't think it's going to
We
kill
still need
me.
it. Yep.
You got to eat. You know, if you want to move around the damn country, you're going to need to get
You
the
got to do it.
shots. And that's just it is what it is. It's the fanatics on either end that I just
Have an
don't want to
issue
be
with, yeah.
around. So yeah, a couple of months we'll probably be back at it, but then it'll be selective. We'll try and pick the a balance of the busiest, most profitable shows, and also the shows we love to go to the most, whether they be as profitable or whatnot. There's just certain communities I just love to be
Absolutely.
into.
Absolutely.
I was really bummed that I missed Atlanta last weekend. A lot of my friends went and had a good time, but it's just too early
I
for
know.
me, you know.
It's we were we had talked my husband and I had talked about doing that one, and it just was that's usually for us it's the most expensive to get to for us because we have to fly, get a hotel and all of that, and that's really the only show that we've ever flown to. So I was skeptical about that, just being that it's like kind of the first one out the gate. I'm like, I don't know if it's going to be, if we're going to make back the money that we put down to go to the show, if it's going to be worth it, if the exposure is going to be worth it, in terms of like all these new people in another state and airports and things like that. I would certainly not want to get it going there and it not work out. So I had to skip that one, but I'm definitely once shows start kind of booking up again, I'm definitely looking into, I guess, the more local ones for me that I can drive to that I know I don't have to get on an airplane or risk any other type of exposure or anything like that. So stuff that's a little bit easier for us to do.
Well,
That's
you're still
definitely what we'll
practically a
be.
baby, so you're not even on the
I
list for vaccines for another 20
know.
years. So,
Exactly.
but yeah, I think June, July, I think is about the time we're looking at to consider going to some of the closer ones, and seeing what's out. But again, I don't want to travel halfway across the country like I was doing before, you know, because that involves sometimes multiple nights on the road, which means I'm stopping in multiple communities,
Exactly.
and the risk just increased. Now, again, I'm not fearful of it at all, but I want to make sure that I'm safe,
Exactly.
my
You want to
family's
make
safe,
sure
my
everybody's safe.
employees are safe, everybody, you know. And here's the thing, everybody within my business has got to be comfortable with it, or we won't do it. You know, I'm not
Exactly.
gonna, I even not the people that are the people that aren't traveling, if they have any real worries about us going and bringing it back. Yeah, I mean, I want
Exactly.
everybody to be comfortable. I don't, it's like I said, I'm
Yeah.
kind of becoming a homebody.
It's understandable. We've been home for a long time.
Okay, so you're back to work, and you are currently working at Flats, right?
Yes.
I've known a number of people that have worked at Flats over the years. It's a
Yep.
pretty busy
It's
shop down there, so
very busy.
a lot of good tattooers been in and out of there for sure.
Definitely.
You're enjoying that? You want to give them a little plug here, Instagrams, fun stuff, whatever.
Flats Tattoo, Groton, Connecticut. Come visit us. We're by the sub base.
So, okay. What days are you usually tattooing, and are you booked out, or considering the current climate? I mean, do you have availabilities? What's how do people get in touch with you?
The best way to book me is through my website, hollymarieart.com. I have a booking form. That's usually the way that I do most of my appointments now. You can still stop down to the shop and book an appointment, but it's just a little bit easier. This is a generation of millennials and Gen Z. They don't want to talk on the phone or come in person, so they can do it online now. But most of my appointments, like I said, are booked online. Right now I'm booking beginning of May, I believe, end of April. I think I still have a couple days left in April. I have to make a post about it actually, that I'm booking. But May right now is what I'm booking. Yeah, it's been super busy still. you know, when we reopened, it was like swamped busy just because like we had 3 months of appointments to rebook because obviously we couldn't do them during the shutdown. And then we had all these other people that were trying to book with us, you know, because we were reopened from shutdown and they're like, I want to get tattooed. I've had all this time to think about what I wanted to get done. And so, you know, after the initial 6 months of coming back into it, we've kind of evened out, but we really haven't seen any like slowdowns, which, you know, normally at like Christmas and Thanksgiving and stuff, it tends to hit a little bit of a dip, but we've been super busy, you know. Awesome. Phone's always ringing off the hook, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So no complaints here.
I can't explain the increase in business either. Cause it's
crazy, but it's
opposite
awesome.
Of what you'd expect, but it's been good. So I'm not, you know, knock on the wood. I'm not, you know, going to complain at all.
Exactly. And we take all, you know, we haven't really changed any of what we do, you know, in terms of sterilization or anything like that, because tattooers, we already do all of this stuff. We already, you know about cross-contamination, bloodborne pathogens, how diseases spread, how viruses spread, and we already take all those precautions anyway. So the only thing that's really changed is the masks, which, right. I mean, honestly, tattooers should be wearing masks anyway. And I've said this before, and I will regret it when, you know, because I do want to wear lipstick again one of these days, but
you can wear the lipstick, we're just not going to see it.
Yeah, no one sees it, that's all. But you know, we really should be wearing masks anywhere. We're literally so close to blood and germs. So
I've been saying that since the beginning. I don't think the masks are going away regardless
for
as
us,
to
yeah.
what, regardless as to what happens
it's
with
just
the rest
safer.
Of the world. It kind of makes sense. You know, I mean, it's like, if we want to be treated as professionals, we probably got to step up and, yeah. you know, take every precaution out there and act as professional as possible.
Exactly.
And I can't stop wearing masks. So I'm kind of glad
mask,
I don't tattoo on the constant anymore. But overall, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's just the world moves on and we got to roll along with it. So
exactly. Change comes whether we like it or not. We just got to adapt. So, yeah. But yeah, I don't think that masks are going anywhere anytime soon, especially in the tattoo industry. But mm-hmm. you know, it is what it is. Like I said, nothing else has really changed for us in such a long time. So I'm fine with it.
Okay.
I've made my peace with it.
Cool. All right. Let me ask you, cause like you are still young in the business here. Like I've been in tattooing, I want to say 29 years now. So I'm feeling even older right now. So
you're older. Your tattooing has been longer than I've been alive.
Oh, ouch. Damn. That's
only 26.
All right. So what I was going to ask you was like, you know, you being so young and me being, you know, practically BC, how did you hear about what was your introduction to my company or to me, you know, just a little bit of a marketing aspect here. I want to know how you heard about me and what you heard about me.
I mean, really, it was conventions, you know, seeing you, we're close enough in proximity that we kind of go to all the same shows anyway. So I'd see you guys and you always had supplies and everything like that. And sometimes you were the only suppliers at shows. So we kind of built up a rapport that way. I bought a couple of machines from you and, you know, from there I started trying your needles just because, you know, try to get more local versus, you know, I like to support small businesses, you know, even if they're not that small, you know, but it's quality for me. And a lot of like the local companies around here, I found that their quality isn't as good. And then some of the bigger companies, because they are bigger, their quality kind of suffers just on that level. So when I started trying your guys's needles and things like that, I was like, damn, this is where I want to be in terms of like the small business and like the customer service aspect, but also like the quality of the product itself. So, and then from there, you know, we just saw each other all the time. So, so then it was like a no brainer. Cause I'm like,
couldn't
the owner's amazing. So yeah.
Yeah. I did all those shows just to be near you, Holly.
Aww.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you've been having a good experience with it. We're not a massive company. We're not a small company, but we're not a massive company.
Exactly. You're like a happy medium.
And I'm cool with that. You know, I mean, money's not my driving factor. I love having a successful business. I obviously like money as much as the next person. But at the same time, there's a certain level of, we try and maintain a certain level of customer service and integrity. Mm-hmm. And I'm into growth. We are growing. We're going to continue to grow, but we're going to scale. I'm doing my best to scale at proportionately. So we have as little lost along the way as humanly possible. So, you know, and if I'm doing something wrong, I know I have people out there that will voice themselves,
He'll angry message you.
angry message me or just come up and smack me one way or the other when they see me. And that's one thing I do appreciate is like a lot of the close relationships I have in the business is, you know, there are people out there that will tell me when I'm fucking up, and I hate to hear it, but I need to hear it, you know, once in a while. So
It's a
cool.
bittersweet.
Yeah, it's just part of growing, man. Some people get too damn butthurt, and well, you know, you have to have thick skin to be in this business for any length of
There's no
time,
tears in
anyways.
tattooing.
Yeah, you know. I don't know about that. I see some bitches cry all the time, but you know,
That's true.
maybe they
That's
should be
true.
somewhere else. I don't know. But oh man. So what do you want to talk about? I keep bringing up random topics and babbling on here. We'll give you the spotlight here. Do you have any
Oh,
topics of
geez.
interest, things you want to address? You know, what do you want to talk about, particular tattoos? Business
I don't know.
philosophies, whatever. I'll talk about anything. I hold nothing back. I think you should know that by now, but
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of touched on my business aspect of it of, you know, I'm very much for like clients having the best experience. So that's like the biggest thing for me is, you know, giving a good experience versus a shitty one to anybody that walks in the door. So that's the biggest thing for me in terms of like me having the clientele that I have. And like, you know, I don't just have local clientele. I have, you know, clientele from all over the country. So, you know, that's the most important thing to me. And I think the only way to get to that place other than being on TV is to provide them with an experience that they can't get anywhere else, which is, you know, a good tattoo and a fun time, you know, and that's kind of
just an
how
overall
I've built
good
my business.
experience.
Yeah.
And
So
you're still enjoying working for someone in a shop experience, where I see a lot of tattooers that want to just, you know, run out and do their own
jump
thing
ship,
all the
yeah.
time, whatever. You know, it's like, well, it's not jumping, it is jumping ship, but it's like, you know, too many people. I see so many artists that just think, oh, the boss doesn't know what they're doing, they're not doing it right, blah, blah, blah. And then they don't realize that when you own your own shop or something like this, like, you know, a lot of your
Gets
time
vastly
gets
more complicated.
consumed. Yeah.
Yes.
Like your art can really suffer
Suffer.
because you have to dedicate a fair amount of time to other tasks.
All the other
So,
bullshit. Yeah.
right. And it's cool to see tattooers that either A, get that, or they just haven't gotten to the arrogance level yet. You know, I mean, and I personally always say I hate 3 to 5 year tattooers. You know, that's usually the cocky range where they just start to know it all, you know. And
Yeah.
then once you get beyond that, luckily you're 7 years now, so I
I'm
don't
out of
know.
that wing.
You know, and I think everybody goes through it. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just
It's just a part of the
yeah, it's a
experience of growing
stage.
as an artist. Yeah.
And
It's not a phase, Mom.
some people get through it quickly, and some people it lingers forever. But you still enjoy that aspect, and you're smart enough to realize that let somebody else
Definitely.
do the bullshit, and you can focus on your art.
Yeah, and I think the setup I have now at Flats is just like it's prime time for me. You know, I make my schedule. I come and go as I please. You know, I handle my own self and my shit. And you know, I like the people I work with. I love the people I work for. It's, you know, so why would I take on more stress when I don't have to, especially as somebody that travels so much, like normally, obviously. It's a no-brainer. Like if I'm gonna travel as much as I do, which I plan on traveling for as long as I can, for as much as I can, why would I take on that responsibility when sorry, my phone fucked up. My phone's
No,
telling me I have
cool.
low power.
It just jumps up and reminds us. That's all
Yeah,
right.
it reminds us we have no power.
But if you're getting close, I do have one question
Yes.
about so you do a lot of traveling. Do you have any specific tips for other tattooers to get the most out of a tattoo convention?
I do. That is
Ooh.
a good question. I personally, my husband and I have like the best combination when it comes to traveling. And it's been changing vastly since I've been on the show. And obviously with COVID, we don't know, you know, how it's going to adapt from there. But my husband and I kind of created a really good business plan for traveling. And that is customer service. Once again, I've been to so many conventions, you know, like we do 20 shows a year. Like I've been to so many conventions where you're walking, you can walk around and like people are walking around, you know, mulling over portfolios or available designs or whatever. And like the person sitting at the booth doesn't say anything to them. And then they just walk away. It's like, why, you know, if you're not going to greet your customers, like these people are here to give you money. Like that's the biggest thing. And so my husband is like the front man. He's the one that talks to everybody. He handles all of the clients and his customer service is top tier, chef's kiss. So he makes everybody feel welcome. And we've been to so many shows that people have come to the booth, you know, they've mulled around or whatever. And, you know, he said, hey, how are you enjoying the show? Yada, 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 made small talk. And then they'll be on their way, you know, and a couple hours later, they'll be back and they'll say, you are the only booth that talked to me. Like nobody else has said anything. And I think it's just one of those tattooer traits where we're like incredibly socially awkward humans, like in general, because we don't know how to handle our own lives. So talking to people is like a weird thing. And I know personally, because I'm the same fucking way. And that's why I have him do it for me. So he handles all of that front stuff. And then, you know, I get in and I just tattoo them basically. And from there, give them that part of the experience. So they have just an overall good time where, you know, if you go to a convention and you aren't talked to, like, what's the point of going? Like, if this person's not going to be like, hey, how are you? Do you want to get anything done? Obviously, you're not going to get tattooed there. You know, so the biggest thing is customer service. Always. The customer is always right. As cliche as that sounds is, you know, experience is everything. And if you're not going to give somebody an experience, like I will, like I'll fucking take that person then.
Yeah. I mean, customer walks up to your booth. That is an opportunity presenting itself. And if you don't capitalize on that opportunity, tattoo. Somebody else will. It's just,
and I've had so many tattooers over the years too, that have been like, you're never not tattooing. You know, I've had, you know, guys that have tattooed forever at conventions, and they come over and they're like, it's so crazy that you're tattooing the entire time. And I'm like, yeah,
that's what you went there for, right?
I mean, I'm here to make money. I'm here to tattoo. Like I'm here to get my name out. Like, Christian Buckingham, for example, he loves me at conventions. I love being next to him at conventions. He's another Ink Master guy.
Oh, he's a character. Yeah. I just really got to know him last year. He and Melinda are together now. Yeah. Yeah. And they're having a baby.
Look at that. I didn't know that. Oh, Christian.
But he's a good guy. He's hilarious. He's
yes. I love him to death, but yeah. He is one of the ones that's like, he's like, I want to get tattooed by you one of these days. Cause you're always working. He's like, none of these other tattooers are working. Like the whole time they're there, they do maybe one tattoo a day and then move on. And then they're hanging out the rest of the time. And I'm there to work. Like I'm here to tattoo as many fucking people as I can, because I'm not here all the time. Like, I want to give people as much of an opportunity to get something done as I can. So, but yeah, and he's been tattooing forever too. So, you know, to get like recognition that I'm at least doing something right is always really nice. So I'm definitely not going to change my approach in that regard.
Well, I mean, if you fly into a new state and you say, like you said, some of these people tattoo one person a day. So they now have three new clients and three new connections in that area. Okay, that's okay. But if you tattoo 12, right, if you tattoo 12 people, when you go back next year, I mean, we all know customers grow exponentially. So for every person you make happy, they'll expand, you know, you have more, the opportunity to make, you know, 3-4 more people happy. So that tattooer goes back to that town the next year and they now have possibly people 9 people and you have 36 people waiting.
Exactly.
And then you get to do what they want to do. They want to pick and choose.
Exactly.
And they don't really have the opportunity because they haven't gone about a good business plan. You have a business plan, you go there, now you have 36 opportunities and you do get to pick and choose what you want to tattoo and you get to charge more for it because of the demand.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's one of the
other
things,
people are smarter than you.
And that's one of the things that, like, especially like obviously before all of this, our business model was sort of changing because I was getting to that point, and especially being on TV, I was getting even more clients that way. So I was starting to book out at shows, which before I never booked an appointment at a show. Everything I did was walk-ups, and I would do 10, 13, 15 tattoos a day. And it was all based on walk-ups. And so I never ever took appointments. And then, you know, going back to cities, you know, people would want to book me again. They're like, you did this last year or the year before. I want to set something up for like a real appointment, not just a walk-up. And so, and then from being on the show too, I started to book up too. So I started booking out for shows, and, you know, it kind of sucked because I miss like the walk-up and like the, like, yeah, luck of the draw, whatever comes up. I love doing that stuff. I'm a street tattooer. Like, that's what I do. But
not knowing what you're going to be doing 2 hours from now. It's just,
exactly. It's super fun.
Yeah, you put on the spot and you got to draw it and you got to do it. And that's it. There's definitely some fun involved with that. So yeah, what you're kind of saying is, other than the, you know, the whole TV thing, I think what you're saying is Alex is responsible for your success.
He is very much responsible for my success. Yeah, nice. He's a good backbone for me. So he puts me in my place every time I need to be put in my place, and I do the same for him. So we're both kind of growing successful businesses there. So
that's good. You have that open, you know, that aspect where you can
exactly
each other. Okay. So besides the TV thing, and obviously, you know, your front bitch at the shows, what do you do for marketing? What do you think is the best ways to attain new clients, other than the, you know, abusing that TV thing?
Yeah. TV abuse is always good, but I definitely say having a strong portfolio is obviously the best thing that you can do. You know, the best word of mouth is from local people that are going to become repeat clients that can come in all the time. As if you do a good tattoo on somebody that's not from around here, that, you know, what's the point sometimes? Cause they're not going to bring you as many clients as, you know, your local people. There've been so many times that, you know, especially where I work next to a Navy sub base. So I get clients literally from all over the country that come there and they live and they work, and, you know, and the biggest thing is when they see somebody else that has my work, and then they come in and they're like, oh, this person, you know, had something that you did, and, you know, I loved it. So I want to get tattooed too. So having a strong portfolio is always good, but I think having a solid social media presence is super underrated. Like, if you're not posting every day, you're not getting the full advantage. And I've slacked too on my posting in terms of my feed. I do my story all day long, but in terms of my feed, I've been severely slacking, which I have to get back on. I used to post once a day, and now it's like once a month. So,
but I suck at it, but that's why I have people for that, you know? So
yeah, I suck so bad at it, but it is what it is. I have to get better at it, but it's definitely one of those things. Like, that is your most current, up-to-date portfolio. People like to see that you're tattooing. So, you know, my story is one thing, you know, people get to see literally basically everything I tattoo all day long, aside from like small stuff that I'm like, oh, I don't have to post about this. But if you want to see like what I'm doing every day, just watch my Instagram story, because it's on there. You know, every tattoo I do, I videotape it or take a picture of it or whatever. So, people like to see that.
Instagram's your big winner then, or do you do the Facebook and Twitter, or what?
I cannot understand Twitter for the life of me. I got one because of the show, because they make you get a Twitter so you can tweet, and I don't fucking understand it in the slightest. When somebody comments on something, it doesn't tell you what they're commenting. It's just a comment floating in the air. I don't know what you're talking about. I can't figure it out. And maybe I'm stupid for that, but like, I can't figure it out. I'm only 26 and I can't figure it out. So I don't imagine how old
it's over my head too. I'm not terribly good at that one. Now, how about TikTok? You doing TikTok?
I have a TikTok just to watch TikToks, but I don't make any. My husband thinks Alex thinks I should make TikToks, and I don't really know what I would do.
You got the drums and the piano there. I mean,
little band. Kid. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know what I would do, but it's definitely something I've thought about for sure. Mm-hmm. But, in terms of Facebook, I don't really like Facebook either. It's too much for me. But I still have a Facebook. So, and I accept everybody's friend requests on there, because it's like a personal page, not a business page, because I don't want to have two pages. I just have one. But I don't do much. Whenever I post on Instagram, it posts automatically to Facebook. And that's the most Facebooking I do. I go on probably once every 6 months to accept like friend requests and like answer messages and shit. So Instagram's
where it's
at. I probably
don't get to my friend requests even that frequently, because here's the thing. I'm gonna add a bunch of people, and then within a month or two, they're gonna delete my personal page and go to the business page anyways, because they may not like my ramblings on my personal page. But that's why
I don't even like post anything.
That's why it's my personal page and it's private. I mean, it's not even public. So yeah, too many people want to get in and then they want to get out. So I'm okay.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I'm okay with
try the TikTok thing. I mean, because like I'm just looking at it. Fernando's, I guess, been doing a bunch of TikTok for us or whatever, which is cool. I'm trying to figure it out and learn it a little bit. But from what I understand is it's you know, more like the stories you're talking about
or whatever.
Like I said, it's a little bit beyond me.
I gotta try
to dedicate to it.
Yeah. That's my problem with most things is not finding the time. So, but I really should, but yeah, I just got to sit down.
I'll tell you what, if you start using TikTok, I'll start using TikTok and
right.
Our only followers of each other.
Well, the surprising thing is I have a lot of followers on TikTok. I think it's just because they see my name and they're like, oh, I'm going to follow her. She must be posting tattoos and stuff. And I have zero posts and like have no intention right now of making any posts. I literally just use it to like watch my favorite TikTokers. So
by the end of the day, you are going to do a TikTok and I am going to do a TikTok.
Okay.
And I will search you out and we're going to make this pact to do this together. We're going to jump off the bridge together.
You could do a duet. You could do duets.
Yes. Duets?
Yes.
I mean, not any other technology here. That's like, I'm over-teched already here.
No, that's okay. In TikTok. You could do duets in TikTok.
I don't sing. You don't want that.
Oh, we'll figure it out. But yeah, we'll make a pact right here now that we can start TikToking.
You could be the dancer then.
I'll be the dancer. Holly's going to sing and I'm going to dance?
Exactly.
All right. We can work that.
It'll be perfect.
All right, kid. It's been great talking to you. It's always good to see your face. I definitely miss you. I miss the shows to some degree. I miss the people at the shows. I don't miss the stress of the shows and the week's worth of packing and the week's worth of unpacking and the driving for days. And I don't miss those aspects, but I definitely miss my family. I definitely miss the fun we have there. Anyways, it's awesome that you came on and did this with me today. I truly appreciate it. I hope people enjoyed it.
Me too.
Get a little bit of insight into the fact that we're, you know, really just normal people. You know, we have our flaws for sure. Yeah. That's probably why we all ended up in this industry. So they should be able to relate to that. So, but I appreciate you coming. I've got to ask you to do the obligatory, you know, tell the folks to like, share, subscribe, do all that with a big old smile on your face, because that'll be much better received from you than me for sure. So
awesome.
Give it a swing.
All right. Thank you guys. I really appreciate you guys having me on here. Don't forget to like and subscribe and tune into more Needle Jig interviews and all of that and live streams and the good stuff. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Holly. And I believe it's Holly Marie Art on Instagram and Holly Marie Art, marieart.com for the website, for the booking and all that other fun stuff. Check her out. She's a good human. She's a great artist. And she's really just getting started. I mean, she's kind of in her tattooing infancy still. So it's only going to get better as time goes on. So anyways, thanks for watching.